I want to invite you today to lift your eyes. No, actually, I want you to lift your eyes. Lift your eyes, because up there, there is a silver ductwork that was not there yesterday. Okay? Yeah. Yesterday was our beautification day, for the spring beautification day. How many of you know that in David's time, he commissioned worshipers sometimes to worship God 24/7? Okay? We came real close to that with some of our people yesterday. Okay? Alan Dees got here at 6 in the morning to set us up. Alan left at 2:30 in the morning last night. Alex was helping him. Paul was helping him. And they were here all night finishing out the ductwork because they couldn't stand to not leave it finished. So give them a hand and some appreciation. Okay? There were a lot of people that were serving and working in a lot of different ways during Beautification Day yesterday. And I'm really, really grateful for them. A few things. Kim's not here, so I'm going to share a few announcements with you real quick, things that are going on. And I need the list because there's so many things going on. Yeah, next week. Okay, I'm excited about this. Next week, we start a new Pathways segments. Okay, every 5 weeks, we start Pathways segments. If you have not been, where's our coffee cup? This thing. Oh, and it doesn't have, I'm looking for one of the, out in the lobby, there are little Pathways pamphlets, okay? And if you look inside those, maybe you looked at them 10 months ago when we started Pathways, but what Pathways is a deliberate discipling sequence. But the idea of putting together these five-week courses is that over time, that, you know, if you covered everything in about 3 years, you would have a pretty full foundation for building your faith on. Now, it's not going to take you to the, advanced, seminary level stuff, but you would have a lot of the puzzle pieces covered. And this is important because we feel like too often, if the only teaching you get is a sermon on a Sunday morning in your life, well, a lot of times what you're going to end up is 10 years worth of puzzle pieces that may or may not connect, you may or may not fill together. Pathways is designed to give you a fuller picture of that, a platform to build your learning and faith on. So next week we start two new classes. One of them is our core class. It's called The Great Abide, and it just talks about God's invitation to abide with Him. We have four core classes, and Kim Dees is teaching that. And the other one, this is the first time we've taught this one, is called Carpet Colors and Cool Converts. And it's a Pathways segment about the missional church. What God calls us to be as a missional church. The title is tongue-in-cheek, in case you haven't picked that up. Carpet colors and cool converts are not the things we're to concentrate on. God has a missional call on our life. And I'll be teaching that starting next week. I'm totally stoked. We get into this material and you're like, okay. So I invite you to be there. That's at 9:30 on Sunday morning, okay? Next Saturday is also the Missions Festival going on here. Food trucks, live music. And one of the things that you can see out in the lobby here is our students have done their own art, and that's part of what's going to be auctioned at the fundraiser. You can check some of it out. We have some pretty talented students in our midst, and it looks great out there. But we'll also be having a live auctions of non-art events and all kinds of stuff. If you have items that you think might be helpful to that donation, you can see Bonnie. Bonnie, raise your hand. Okay? She would love to receive those things as soon. But come and join us for a kind of a festival atmosphere. Should be a good time. Today is the day we start ramping up towards Easter season. The Lilies of Remembrance are for sale out in the lobby. And if you've not been around for Easter, during Passion Week on Thursday night, Maundy Thursday, when the celebration of Christ's Last Supper with His disciples, we do something called the Lord's Supper. And they are meetings in our homes, intimate times of gathering around and communing together. And there's some sign-ups for those out in the lobby for different places that if you want to go visit that night. If you've not been to one, well, even if you have been to one, I encourage you to attend one. It is a great way to kind of start up your celebration of Easter in that weekend, okay? I need to pause for a moment. I have really been struck recently by the faithfulness of so many of our people, and so many, there are so many people serving in so many different ways, in background ways. So I would like these people to stand. If you've been part of the regular Tuesday morning crew that is giving out lunches to the homeless, would you stand up for us this morning? Steve and Bob and Richard and Marcy and Alex and Joe, yeah, you've been part of that, okay, on Tuesday mornings. You know, that happens every week, and it's happened every week for years, where they come together and all the churches, different churches are bringing together food, and it's going out to the homeless every single weekday for 3.5 years. The churches have provided a lunch for the homeless, and it's such a beautiful thing. But these guys are there every Tuesday putting together food. Other churches take other days. In the next couple of weeks and over time, I want to call attention to people like that who don't do it for the attention. But you have no idea what this means to the community and what it means to the homeless. And here's the idea that maybe I want to get across in bringing this up. It's not just to praise and thank those guys, though I think that's proper, that they would be thanked and appreciated. It's to realize that everything that we do, everything that you do in your life, every place that you serve, opens the opportunity for 360-degree ministry. Their ministry is not just to the homeless people that they give the lunches to, is it? It's to one another as they work as a team. It's to the staff at the teen center where they put these things together. It's to the other churches in West Sacramento who get encouraged in their work. It's to city officials and people that they interact with at the county and the city. You were going, well, yeah, it's good that we feed somebody. Yes, it is. But isn't it interesting how God uses that and opens a door? What about your life? What about the service God would call you to? I just want to give you that perspective and ask you to be thinking about that today, because it's a powerful opportunity. I am struck over and over again by the opportunities that God puts in front of us. I'm talking about us as believers, us individuals, or us families, or us the church. The opportunities are there every day to grow. We're going to actually get there's a little taste and flavor of that in our teaching today. And today is the second installment in a teaching series that we're calling So That You May Believe. So That You May Believe is a direct quote of Jesus from this passage in John 11. And John 11 is the story of Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. And, you know, most of us know this story and we're familiar with it. This friend of Jesus, Lazarus, is sick. They send messengers to tell Jesus that your friend is sick. Jesus says, wow. He waits a while, and then he goes to them, and Lazarus has died, and Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And in the midst of all of that, there are so many things. We talked last week about the beginning of the, if you'll turn with me to John 11, we'll be looking right at this passage. I really would invite you to, you know, open your phone or open your Bible. There's something about actually putting your eyes on the words. And you know, I'm gonna run us up. I'm gonna go ahead and read from verse 1 this morning, and kind of remind you of where we've come to in this story. In John 11, it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped her feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death.'" And we talked about this last week. Lazarus does die. But Jesus says this sickness will not end in death. And I find that so fascinating, because he dies, but the sickness does not end in death. There's something beyond death for Lazarus. And a lot of times we think we see something that's the end or a death or the demise of something, and that's the end of the story. And I'll tell you, it's a low view of God. It's a low view of God to think that death or ending is an ending until God says it's an ending. this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was. He loved them, so he didn't move. He stayed right there. He stayed there he was for two more days, and then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back. Now let's pause there for a minute, okay? So Jesus says, let's go, and his disciples are going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, you're going back to a place where they tried to stone you. Let me remind you, there is death and danger potentially waiting for you in this place, okay? And his disciples are reminding him of that because there's, you know, a chance that Jesus forgot that. Let's jump down to verse 14 with me. Verse 14, after going through some clarity, Jesus saying, you know, he's going to rise again. Verse 14, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Verse 16, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Okay? Pause. Rabbi, you realize the place you're going to is a place where they tried to stone you. Jesus says, we're going. And Thomas says, all right, let us go too so that we may die with him. And it's an interesting thing. What do we know about Thomas? When I say the word disciple Thomas, what do you think of? Doubting Thomas, who, when Jesus was resurrected, they came and told him the Lord is risen, and he went, psh, yeah, right. When I see the marks in his hands and the wounds in his body, then I'll be convinced. And then, of course, he does see the wounds and is like, okay, yeah, my bad. He's risen. Thomas, through history, is painted a little bit as sort of a little bit weak in his faith because he doubted, you know, a little bit lesser or something like that. Look at this here. Jesus is going, I'm going back to this place. Yeah, it's where they were trying to stone you. Yeah, we're going. And Thomas says, well, then you know what? Let us go too, that we may die with him. Today we're going to talk about a faith and the opportunities that God gives to your faith to be a surpassing faith. I don't know about you, when I was first told about Jesus as a child, I took it kind of at face value. Adults told me, okay, that must be how it is. As I got older and began to, I don't know, critically think or process, there were parts of it that I'm like, okay, I can buy that. Okay, that sounds, you know. And as the years go by, I don't know if this is anybody else's journey, as the years go by, my faith has grown. And my faith has grown because whatever level of faith I had, God showed me his faithfulness in that faith. And I went from, yeah, I can buy that, to, holy mackerel, that might actually seem really true, to, man, that's resonating with my heart, to, Lord, I need you, and he shows up, and suddenly, you know, you find yourself much farther down the road. Has anybody traveled a road like that where your faith has grown? Anybody? Okay. And if you think about your own faith journey, think about where the crossroads are in those journeys, where your faith may have suddenly accelerated forward or multiplied or increased. Think about where those, can you picture them in your mind? Can you think about what some of those crossroads moments are? You have an opportunity to trust and to faith. This is one for Thomas. This is one for Thomas where the disciples are going, hey, you're going to go back and be killed. Okay. And there are so many lessons here in the story we're going to look at this morning. I am so struck by the faith of the people around Jesus as they hit a series of crossroads right here. And so, if you want points of instruction, remember Jesus said the sickness will not end in death. We talked about that. Here's the first one. Devotion will have its moment. Here's what I mean by that. Are you devoted to Christ? And if your answer is yes, you can be sure that there's going to come moments where it's going to be, are you devoted to me now? Are you devoted to me now? Are you devoted to me now? It's not just a matter of him testing you, going, are you really devoted? Are you really? Are you really? Are you really? It's a matter of him drawing you along in faith as you have an opportunity to examine yourself. Hey, I would like to believe. I would like to believe that if my life were hanging in the balance and somebody asked me, do you believe in Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I would like to believe that my answer would not flinch, even if it cost me my life. I would like to believe that. But I have not encountered that situation. So until that happens, that is I have a firm belief. That's exactly what would happen. Well, that's just a firm belief till the moment it happens. Okay? How many of you would like to think that if the Lord spoke to you and said, I need you as a missionary in Africa in a month. Take your family. We would like to think that our response to that would be, sell my house, we're doing everything, we're going. Okay? We would like to think that. How many of you have a nagging fear in the back of your mind that that might not be the way that it played out if the Lord spoke to you that way? I mean, it's a little question that we have. And so we honestly go around going, man, I hope he didn't ask me. There was a popular song a few years ago called Please Don't Send Me to Africa. And it was, or something like that, you know. The third song that was sung here today was an original composition from our former worship leader, Karen Tubbs. Beautiful, beautiful piece, The Strength of My Heart, okay? Karen's not here. Karen's in Cambodia. Karen's in Cambodia, which is in Asia. Karen said to the Lord, basically, send me anywhere but Asia. This is part of her testimony. It's incredible. You know, it's like, by the way, never give the Lord an ultimatum like that if you really don't want to go, okay? You know? You know, the Lord's using her mightily there and has purpose for her. But there came a point when, for Karen, when, you know, the Lord's saying, here's the open door, here's where I'm sending you, and Karen has to decide, right? There is that crossroad. Devotion will have its moment. You're devoted to me? Let's talk about Africa. Are you devoted now? And this is not just the Lord trying to go, oh yeah, you think you're devoted? No, it's not that. It's, I'm going to give you an opportunity to grow in that, to step into that. Okay? Your devotion will be tested in John, but it's not tested just for God's being able to go, ha, I knew it, you weren't devoted. In John 6, Jesus teaches that his disciples must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, or they would have no part of him. And the reaction, my summary is like, say what? You want us to what? And as he explains it further, it doesn't make them feel any better. And a lot of them leave him. And he says to the 12, you do not want to leave me too, do you? There's a moment. There's a devotional moment right there. Okay, devotion is going to have its moment. And for the 12, it had this moment. And Peter answers this way. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Did they fully understand Jesus' teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Did they have a full grasp of it? I'm not thinking so. We're not going anywhere. This is the level of our devotion. And in that, they had a chance to express that by being devoted in that moment. Know this for sure. These moments are coming to you. Even if they've come to you in the past, they will come to you again. Okay? Devotion will have its moment. Now, I'm telling you right now, that jazzes me. I'm serious. What if one of those moments, I'm being totally honest with you right now. This gets me out of bed in the morning. This is like, come on, where is it? Give me a chance to worship you by showing my devotion a little more. Give me a chance, because I want to show it. I want to show it. And that is a product of having come years down the road and having seen God be faithful in so many things where you're like, man, can I have another of those, please? Can I have another moment like that? Because I want to express my love to you. Now, do you know that that moment of devotion may not be so dramatic as it's time to go to Africa? It may be, I know you have a busy afternoon, Teresa, but I'd like you to set that aside and hold somebody's hand in the hospital for 6 hours. Yeah, but I got a busy afternoon. How many of you have a busy schedule? Fibbers, I've tried to schedule coffee with you guys. Things like that. And you're going, well, that's not as dramatic as go to Africa or go to somewhere where you're going to get killed. It's still the devotional crossroads moment. Okay? Gosh, now, instead of being afraid of that, being excited by it and going, man, how many of you would like to express more love to the Lord than you do? This is an actual question. Raise your hand. How many of you, there's something in your heart that's going, gosh, I would like to express, because it burns in me, and I know it burns in many of you. Do you know that these moments are the moments to do that, and they will not look like what you think they will? Anyway. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know, even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Here's your second point. Belief will have its crossover. Let me explain to you what I mean. There's the father in Luke who has a sick child. And Jesus says, do you believe? And he says, I believe. Help my unbelief. A contrasting statement in many ways. But he says, I believe. I really do believe. But I recognize right now that my belief at the highest level I can muster still carries with it some unbelief. How many of you have a vague sense that this might be your faith? Okay? I believe, God help my unbelief. The part of me that is not where it needs to be. Okay? Well, belief will have its crossover. God hears that prayer. You believe, but you want to believe more. You believe, but you want to believe deeper. Look at this moment. She believes. This is an incredible statement of belief to begin with. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. That takes some belief. That takes some belief to in Christ that he would not have let the brother die. But it crosses over into an even more surpassing place when she says, but even now, I know that even now, God will grant, give you whatever you ask. Now that takes a further leap of faith, doesn't it? I can believe you wouldn't have let him die, but he's dead. And by the way, he's been dead for a few days. I believe that even now, God will grant you whatever you ask. How much faith does it take to say that? But she has believed. She has believed, she has believed. And in this moment, her belief actually crosses over. I use the word crossover enough. I don't know if it resonates with everybody. I simply mean that it moves from one place to another that's a higher place. Maybe it's crossing over this way. Okay, moving to a higher place where your belief actually transcends the circumstances. I know he's dead, but I still believe in who you are and what your power is. I know this looks bad. I know that my circumstances are falling apart. but I still believe. Right? I had the experience years ago of discovering a new level of belief within myself. And I discovered it because my circumstances were bad, and it didn't seem like God was hearing me based on the evidence that I could see. And in that, there was a moment where I checked myself and went, you know what? I actually do believe. I actually do believe that God can take the foolish things of the world and the carnage of my life and my sin. I actually believe that. And I'm not sure if I believed it as much before all of that stuff came down. And in that moment, belief had its crossover. Maybe an unfortunate word to use, but does it make sense to you? Do you understand the idea behind that? I have a friend. His name is Rob Maxey. Rob is the executive director of Youth for Christ in Sacramento. He's my age. He's much fitter than me. He's a runner, healthy guy, energetic guy, full of life, never smoked a cigarette in his life. 2 years ago, diagnosed with lung cancer. As we sit here this morning, he's in hospice, which is still 2 years is much longer than they expected that to last. But a month ago, Rob, just before he entered hospice, stood up in a church. They gave him the opportunity to preach. Everybody in the church knew Rob's condition. Do you know what the title of his sermon was? It Is Well With My Soul. And I watched the videotape of that sermon. Hey, you know what? When you are on your deathbed, you don't get to fake faith anymore. You're not posturing when you're speaking about faith on your deathbed. And Rob sat there and spoke about his faith, and it was powerful. Powerful testimony. His belief has had a crossover while he's in this. I have a cousin, Ginger Harwood. She has preached here once about a year and a half ago. She is one of the leading global theologians for the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. She travels the world delivering speeches and academic papers. She is unbelievably deep and well-schooled in the scriptures. She's an incredible woman. And when you visit her house, you find profound things on her wall, as you can imagine, right? Profound things like this. What if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about? That's on my cousin's wall in the home of one of the great theologians. And I bring that up because Ginger's belief, for all of her knowledge, for all of her study, which she values greatly, her belief is not in her knowledge and her study. Her belief, God is God, it'll be all right. This is what she says over and over as she talks to people. Well, here's what Scripture says, here's what Scripture says, but here's the bottom line. God is God, and He loves you. It'll be all right. It's powerful. It's powerful. Her belief has crossed over, okay? Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." "Yes, Lord," will unlock understanding. She believed that Jesus was the Messiah. She believed in the resurrection. Jesus unpacks for her, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." Let me explain to you what this is. Her answer is, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Do you know that when God says to you, "Do you believe this?" do you trust me? And you say, yes, Lord, that's obedient, and that's good. How many of us know that obedience to God is good? That's trusting him, and that's good. Yes, Lord, that's good. But the part I want to get down to is, when you say, yes, Lord, the blessing to you is an unlocking of understanding, because now you are open to the Lord. I am open. I'm a vessel for you to work in, Lord. I am open to what you have to say to me. Yes, Lord, unlocks understanding. Understand, how many of you have gotten downloads from the Lord that you didn't read in any book, that you didn't hear in any sermon? And or you got teaching, you didn't understand it, and God brings some understanding when you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you to this. I can assure you that the Lord is asking you in tangible and in intangible ways, do you believe this today? Do you believe this? To the degree that you're able to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It can unlock incredible understanding. Let's have the worship team come join us up here this morning. Hey, will you, as they take the stage, will you pray with me? I really want to pray on this today, okay? So, don't think ahead. Be in this moment. That's my encouragement to you. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you and praise you for your word, for the way that you speak to each of us, Lord. Lord, we believe. We want you to help our unbelief. Lord, some of your teachings are hard and we don't understand them. But to the degree that we're able, we say, Lord, who else are we going to go to? You have the words of life. Lord, there appears to be danger, distress, or difficulty. Some of the things that we find ourselves in, or some of the things that you call us to. Lord, can you show us? Ask for your anointing on all who are here today, young and old, that their heart would truly be open to your question and to the crossroad that you lead each one of us to again and again. Do you trust me now? Are you devoted to me now? Will you believe in me now? Lord, for those who are struggling at that crossroad, those who are wondering, would you speak to them today, Lord? Would you give them the strength to say, yes, Lord? And a full yes, Lord. It's completely open to your leading, to your healing. But for those who are weary, for those who are in grief, for those who are confused, Lord, in that moment, would you remind them of your power and your great love? You know each one of us by name. You know them by name. God, give them the ability to say, I will be devoted to you. Despite what I see, I will be believing in you, despite what my mind can't comprehend. And I will say, yes, Lord. Oh, the flesh of me where you want to be screaming, no, Lord. Now let your anointing fall. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand together and worship him today. The front is open. If you'd like to pray or receive prayer at the front, we encourage you not to hold back on that. Man, there's a time to come before the Lord. Lay things down. Let's worship him.